Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Certainly a blessing to be here this afternoon. Thankful for what's gone before. An afternoon service, you kind of have some room to spread out and stretch out. Like Brother Josh mentioned, office people would never leave. I said that out loud on recording. If you have your Bibles with you, please open to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In the Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "He brought me to the banqueting house." Banqueting house. One of the prayers that we heard this morning was that our souls would be fed here today. And I certainly believe that has happened. I feel fed this morning. I hope you do as well. Hope we can keep that going this afternoon. There in Matthew chapter 5, I just want to focus on one beatitude, one of the short verses there in Christ's Sermon on the Mount. But before I tell you which one, I'll say nothing gets me out of bed in the morning quicker than the smell of breakfast. The smell of biscuits and gravy, eggs and sausage, grits and toast, or even the smell of Chick-fil-A. You guys are so blessed to have Chick-fil-A just down the road from here. You don't have it in my town yet. But nothing gets me out of bed quicker than the smell of breakfast, and none of that gluten-free stuff, but good breakfast. And so to keep the food here today that will keep us awake this afternoon, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, where Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So I want to ask you this afternoon, how's your spiritual hunger? How's your spiritual thirst? I feel like my cup's overflowing this afternoon after what we've heard and done this morning. Did you have a spiritual breakfast before coming here? Like before, when you first woke up this morning, did you discipline yourself not to turn on the TV, not to turn on the news, and watch something on Netflix? Did you discipline yourself not to open up Facebook, elders, and check what's going on in the world, what's happening on Facebook, and the narcissism there? But did you have some kind of spiritual breakfast? Did you maybe read your Bible, pray a little bit, set your mind on things above, not on things of this world?
Yes.
You can kind of think of them, your devotions and worship services, as spiritual meals. I think that's a fitting analogy. But did you have that before coming here, so that our morning worship service was kind of like brunch, and now this is kind of like a second lunch for us now? But we have such wonderful spiritual nourishment here in the church and the banqueting house that is provided to us. Now, I want to say, you can think of your favorite restaurant. I mean, it's Chick-fil-A for me, but if it's Chipotle for you, or Hothead Burritos, Milo's, Jack's, it's pretty important to you, but it's nowhere near as important as a good spiritual meal. It can be just as important as that. Man, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Amen. We have spiritual needs just as much as we have physical needs. But I don't think it would take much of an argument to prove that not just anything that we eat will feed our bodies. Not everything nourishes us or fuels us. Like, I'll use myself as an example. I have a sweet tooth for Little Debbie's, believe it or not. The Little Debbie's zebra cakes, they're so good. But I was so glad they didn't have any here today, because the whole box would have been missing. But as much as I love Little Debbie's, they don't fuel my body. You know, a quick jump, quick satisfaction, and then I'd have a crash, and then actually long term it would do damage to me, my body. I'm a side job, I'm a health coach, so that's going to come out today. But McDonald's, Burger King, soda, and energy drinks. A lot of young people are drinking energy drinks nowadays. They're not really good for the body. Right. And we have to take care of our bodies just like we have to take care of our souls. So not everything feeds our bodies. It nourishes our bodies. The same principle applies to our souls. Not everything nourishes our souls.
That's right. Amen.
We talked this morning I think it was Brother Ben that mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, that doesn't nourish your soul. That just makes you bitter and more sour when you do that. But Isaiah chapter 55, verses 2 and 3 says, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness," that is, abundance. Where do we find that abundance? We keep reading. "Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." All the promises that we have in Jesus Christ, those are the sure mercies of David.
Yes.
And Isaiah, in chapter 55, verses 2 and 3, he describes that as fatness, as abundance for our souls that satisfies us, as we've been satisfied this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." Jesus says that he gives us living waters, and we'll get to that. "They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." So apart from the Lord, nothing really satisfies our souls. Brother Ben mentioned this morning that we have two natures. And that one nature is satisfied one way. It's satisfied with the things of the flesh and the world. And our new nature is satisfied, it's filled by cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, by investing in that. We have a heaven-born nature that isn't satisfied with the things of this world. No amount of dust can satisfy us. And I think Solomon's a pretty good example of that. In all of the experiments that he started out so good, and how happy he was when he first started out as king, and he was obeying the word of the Lord, but then over time he's led astray by the beliefs of his many hundreds of wives. And you see how unhappy he was there in the end. He had a heaven-born nature that wasn't satisfied with everything that he was doing.
Right.
Our old nature tries to feed on things of this world and the flesh. But Jesus says, "Blessed are ye which do hunger."
Right.
Does it feel good to be hungry? But Jesus says, "You're blessed if you hunger and thirst after righteousness." And I've been hungry, but I mean, we're Americans. We typically don't have to wonder where our next meals come from, or where we're going to get them, how we're going to pay for them. But if you've ever experienced hunger, you know, deliberately, maybe you were fasting or some dire circumstance, and you experienced hunger, got a taste of it, it's not pleasant. It doesn't feel good. Same goes for thirst. Whenever the first time I experienced thirst, or at least I think I did, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. At Winter Garden Primitive Baptist Church, where I grew up, we had every Memorial Day we went to the beach to have a picnic at the beach with the church family. And being a little kid, I went out and played with my friends in the water. It was a hot summer day, and being a kid, I didn't think to hydrate. I didn't think to keep drinking plenty of fluids. And before I know it, my parents say, "It's time to go." And I run into the car. It's a hot car, and we don't have any water there in the car. It's a 2-hour drive from the beach to my house. And so that whole ride home, I thought I was going to die. But, you know, you watch documentaries and people get stranded out in the desert. They say that whenever you go without water for that long and it's that hot, your tongue eventually starts to feel like a brick in your mouth. You're so dehydrated. It doesn't feel good to be hungry or thirsty. We don't really know how those feel on a regular basis, but we're blessed not to. But it doesn't feel good to be hungry or thirsty. But we have a saying here in America that whenever somebody's to that point where they're hungry, but you know they're not really starving, they get to the point where they're hangry. You know, like whenever they're starting to get kind of hungry, they want food, they want it now. Don't let anybody stand in their way. They're getting angry. So they're hungry and angry, they're hangry. We don't need to let ourselves get to that point spiritually.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of resources here in the Word of God. We've got the church. We've got fellowship. Thanks to the blessing and technology, we can use the technology that we've been blessed with to call up a brother or sister. Just talk to them. You can listen to sermons online. We can pull up all of these resources that are readily available to us to nourish our souls. There's no reason why we should be spiritually malnourished. And if you go to a mega church, just imagine, if you went to a mega church with thousands of members, maybe Joel Osteen's church, and let's say you can see their souls, what condition do you think their souls are going to look like? Are they going to be strong and healthy? Or are they going to be kind of shriveled up and, you know, barely any meat on their bones, just kind of like one of those the children in Africa that struggle to have daily food to eat? Why? Because they're not getting the gospel that they need that will actually satisfy their soul. They're not being fed that. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Not success, not pleasure, not achievement. Righteousness. Why? Because in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The daily necessities. He'll take care of you. Seek His righteousness first. But so often in these mega churches and in other worldviews and philosophies, seek ye first yourself. Seek ye first achievement. What makes you feel good? What enthrones you? Not God. That does not satisfy our souls, our heaven-born souls. If you remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15, she starts out kind of proud. It's subtle, but it's there. She starts out, she came from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and they were known for being very eloquent and articulate, and she tried to use that. She was a Gentile woman, but she comes to Jesus. She somehow found Him. She sought Him out, and she says, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." She tries to cry out like she's a Jew, because maybe she read some Jewish literature or something, and she wanted to try to impress Him with her knowledge, but He ignored her until she let that go. She had to humble herself, and she ended up begging for crumbs. Well, she didn't know what would lie ahead. She didn't know the gospel, essentially, but she did meet Jesus Christ, and we have a promise that if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. Mm-hmm. If you beg for crumbs, He's promised He'll give you more. He has a banqueting house prepared for His people. Abundance for His people. There's a feast promised for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul gives this advice to Timothy, that young minister. He says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." And get this, "nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." So, Timothy, I want you to keep feeding yourself in the words of faith and good doctrine. Keep doing that. Keep nourishing yourself in these things. And this applies to every member of the church. They need to continually be feasting on God's word. And you can get God's word in many different forms. We have a saying that variety is the spice of life. God didn't create just one method of worship, just preaching. He created preaching, singing, praying, reading, fellowship. These are all means of worship. And that feeds our souls. We've got so many resources we're trying to get to. He says, "Nourish yourself in the words of faith and good doctrine." Charles Spurgeon, he has a quote where he said, "There is hardship in everything except eating pancakes." And I like to add something onto the end of that. There's hardship in everything except eating the pancakes of God's word. You know, Isaiah did say, "Delight yourself in a fatness and abundance." But we have plenty of those pancakes of God's word, the bread of life. We have that here. We believe that's overflowing here. We've got plenty of it. In John chapter 7, Jesus says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, in a few chapters before that, Jesus would talk about water coming down from heaven to us. So He provides us the water coming down to us, and as believers in His name, we should be letting that water flow out of us. Yeah. Open the floodgates, essentially, and share it with others. This is the water that will satisfy that thirst that Jesus says is a blessing to those that are hungering and thirsting there in Matthew chapter 5. We need to let that water flow in our conversation, as Brother Derek mentioned this morning, and also in our deeds, in helping the poor, helping the fatherless, the widows, the afflicted. And let that water flow in all the good works that we can. That's something we need to be doing. And we can be blessed while we're being a blessing to others. I think it's important to keep that in mind. Well, what are you getting at, Brother Michael? Part of what I'm getting at is to have a spiritual meal plan. I mentioned that I'm partly a health coach, so this is coming through a little bit. But have a spiritual meal plan. Maybe a Bible in a year reading plan. I'm not particularly fond of them, but they can be useful. Make it a commitment to be at church every chance you get. Don't let vacation get in the way of it. Don't let anyone get in the way of it. Maybe make a commitment to have a brother or sister in Christ that you can talk to on a regular basis. Maybe as soon as you two get off of work, you can call each other up or have a text conversation over text or Facebook Messenger. There you go with Facebook again. But you've tasted that the Lord is good. Peter mentions that. I believe it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you've tasted that the Lord is good here today, this morning, this afternoon, you can share it with others, and they can taste it as well.
Yes.
If you would, turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Now, Brother Ben started to get into this towards the end of his sermon. And Brother Sam mentioning, well, if somebody doesn't hear the gospel, they don't hear the gospel. They don't hear about Jesus. And we believe that not all of God's people, not all of God's elect are going to hear the gospel in this life. It's sad, but that's the state of the world. It's our responsibility to try to get the gospel out there, to reach as many of God's people as we can, but we're jars of clay, earthen vessels, cracked. We've got imperfections in us, and we're going to fail to talk to them about it, fail to reach out to them, fail to convince them. That's our sad condition. And we need to share it with them as best we can. But we can be thankful for this truth here, that even though the gospel that nourishes and satisfies our heaven-born souls, they're still blessed. No matter how malnourished a child of God may be, they're going to be filled. Blessed are ye which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This should be a very familiar passage to many of us. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. We'll start at verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And these are people that, some of these people in this crowd, a lot of people in this crowd, may not have heard the gospel in their lifetime, but they're in heaven now,
right,
and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." I jump down to verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Thank you for your kind attention this afternoon.